Okay, we're on the Memches on the base, but Ezra Hashem Yisbarach. We're hopefully going to finish the Perek this week, which is always a very moving thing to finish another Perek in Shas. We're on the Gemara Daf Memches on the base. Tana Rabbanan. The first word on the line is Vehilchasa. Tana Rabbanan. We're discussing now the subject of not Haruge Bezdin. Haruge Bezdin are those people who have committed an Avera so severe that they need to be killed by the Bezdin. This is not that. There is also a concept of Haruge Malchus, when somebody has not committed an Avera, as it were, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather he's rebelled against the king. There is a specific license of a Melech to put to death somebody who, in his opinion, has rebelled against him. And then he's not considered a Haruge Bezdin, but rather Haruge Malchus. In fact, it's not the Bezdin who necessarily kill him, it'll be the king or his agents that put him to death for having rebelled against him or against the state. So we're going to see now there is a discussion about what happens to the assets, to the estate of somebody who is put to death as a Haruge Malchus, says the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanu. Haruge Malchus. What is that? Let's look at Rashi immediately. Haruge Malchus, Shenischayvu Misa, who have become Chayev Misa, Lemalche Yisrael, because of what they've done against the king of Klal Yisrael, Kegoyim, Shemaru Duboy. For example, they've rebelled against him. Tiksiv, it's a pasuk in Yeshua, Kol Ish, Asher Yamre Espicho, anybody who rebels the word of the king, etc., etc., etc. So there's a special dispensation, a very fascinating halacha. Unlike all other averas, which can only be dealt with by the Bezdin, this is not dealt with by the Bezdin, this is dealt with by the Melech, to the point that he can even decide that somebody needs to be put to death. Says the Gemara, Haruge Malchus Nichseihen Lemelech. This is another chiddush now. Not only, says the Gemara, is there an exception to the normal rule in as much as the king puts him to death rather than the Bezdin, but another chiddush is the fact that the estate does not now become bequeathed to the inheritors, which is the normal case, but over here it goes to the state. Haruge Malchus Nichseihen Lemelech. All of their nechassim, all of his assets, go to the king. Haruge Bezdin, however, nichsein le'yorashim. If somebody was, for example, mechalal Shabbos, he was stoned by the Bezdin, then all of his nechassim do not go to the melech, but they go to the yorashim, just as if he would have died of natural causes. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, no, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Af Haruge Malchus, also Nechsein LeYarshim. Rabbi Yehuda says there's absolutely no difference with regard to this point, whether somebody was killed by the Bezdin, whether somebody was killed by the Melech, whether somebody died of natural causes, the Nechosim always go to the Yarshim. So we have a Machlaikas. We have a Machlaikas. Again, a regular person who's killed by the Bezdin, having committed an Avera, well, there everybody agrees that the Nechassim go to the Yorshim. The discussion is only the Machlokes is what about Haruge Malchus? According to the Tanna Kamma, Nechassim go to the Melech. According to Rabbi Yehuda, once again, they go to the Yorshim. Says the Gemara, Omrulei l'Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, we seem to have a proof against your opinion. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that the Nechassim go to the Yorashim, just as they would in the case of Haruge Bezdin. So they asked him, what's going on? Vahaloi, but surely Kvar Nemar, doesn't it say we have a Posukim Sefer Malachim? Now, a classic example of Haruge Malchus was Novos. Novos HaYisraeli, in a whole complicated and tragic story, was deemed, falsely by the way, to be considered a Moired B'Malchus against the wicked king Ahav and his equally wicked wife Izebel, and they put him to death. Ahav was the Melech of Yisrael. He was a Rasha, but he was the Melech of Yisrael. So Novois was put to death, and the Pasuk says, quotes the Gemara, V'haloi kvar nemar, doesn't it say with regard to Novois, Hine bekerem Novois, the vineyard of Novois, asher yorat shom, that he went down to inherit. Who went down to inherit? The king. Asher yorat, that Achav went and took, as it were, inherited his kerem. So what does this seem to indicate? Here we have a classic example of somebody who was a Moirud b'Malchus and therefore a Haruge Malchus. And it says that the king got the kerem. It does not say that the kerem went to the children, as Rabbi Yehuda suggested, says Rashi. L'rishtoi mashma Yerusha gemura u'min hadin. It's mashma, not that just the king captured it against the halacha. It's mashma that this was a correct track of Yerusha. It's a type of Yerusha, as it were. Instead of being inherited by the children, it's inherited by the melech. But don't tell me that the king just snatched it incorrectly. Rashi says, and this is all included in the Gemara's Kasha, that the implication of the pasuk was he took it by rights. Once Novois was deemed a Moirud b'Malchus, and therefore put to death as a Haruge Malchus, you see that what happened to his estate, it gets taken by the king. So how can you, Rabbi Yehuda, say that Haruge Malchus, the estate, goes to the Yorashim? It doesn't, it goes to the king. Here you have a Mefurash Apostle. Omar Lohen. So he responded and he said, well, actually, Ben Achi Oviv Hoya, v'ro le'yorshei hoya. Achav was actually a family relative of Novos. How so? Ben Achi Oviv, the son of the brother of his father, which is another way of saying a first cousin. His father had a brother who had a son. So they're first cousins. So Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting that he did not take it, the vineyard, in the capacity of Melech. He actually took it in the capacity of relative. Obviously, the cousin would only inherit it as a relative if there were no closer relatives. And that's the Gemara's Kasha immediately. Says the Gemara, excuse me, Omar Lohen, Ben, sorry, Vahaloi, Harbe, Bonim, Hoyuloi. Novis had many sons. How do we know he had many sons? Rashi says we don't know. Look at Rashi. V'haloi harbe bonim hoyuloi lo yodano. I do not know mehecha yalfi. How do we know that? Doesn't say any pasuk. There's no pasuk in the Novi that suggests that Novis had many sons, but the Gemara just presents it as a fact, so we accept it. Says Rashi, we do not know what the source of that is. But either way, if that is the fact, that Novois had many sons, so don't tell me now that Achav takes the kerem as a family relative. He's not the first in line. There are many children. So it can't be he took it as an inheritance, as a family. It must be he took it as a melech, and therefore we're back to our original question. You see that somebody who's Haruge Malchus, what happens to his estate? It does not go to the children, but rather it goes to the Melech. That's a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda now answers a different teretz. Omar Lohem, Oisoi, v'esbonov horag. You're right, he had children, but he killed them as well. He killed them as well. So not only did Achav kill Novois, but for whatever reason, he had all his children killed as well. So who is now the first in line as a family member to inherit? It is indeed Achav. So Rabbi Yehuda's position is once again defended. If you want to know why Achav took the keren, it's not in the capacity of Melech. Rabbi Yehuda maintains it doesn't go to the Melech, it goes to the Yorashim. In this particular case, Achav, as a first cousin, was the Yorish. Either were many children? No, they were removed from the picture. How do I know? Shenema, because there's a pasuk and it says, Imloy es demei novois, the es demei bonov roisi. The Novi talks about the blood of novois and the blood of the children as well. So how are we to understand that? That you see that not only was novois killed, but so too were his children. In which case, there were no immediate Yorushim. The first in line is now the first cousin, i.e. Achov. Because you see that not only was novois killed, but the children were also. So Rabbi Yehuda's position is defended. Under ordinary circumstances, it's 100% true. Haruge Malchus always goes to the Yorushim. So under normal circumstances, it would go to the children. In this particular case, there were no children, so it went to the first cousin, who happens to be the Melech. But it didn't go to Achav because he was the Melech. Rather, it went to Achav because he was the cousin. Yes, Larry.
Achav was the worst king in Jewish history. If you're going to bring a riot of something like this, couldn't you find someone that's not a Russia that would do evil things? Maybe David HaMelech. I mean, there are hundreds of kings that
well,
are...
But that's what Rashi was alluding to before. If the Navi calls it a Yerusha, so you see it was a Yerusha Bedin. Otherwise, that's exactly what Rashi was alluding to. How can you bring a proof from Achav? Maybe he just snatched the Kerem illegally. Says Rashi, it's mashma that it was done kedas v'kedin. Once he was deemed as Haruge Malchus, and he really deserves to be Yerushit. So it wasn't
all
just...
that, yeah, and now they're suggesting he killed all the sons. I mean, if you told me Achav did this, I was like, he's a complete Russia. He killed all the sons to get the money, you know.
Again, we're not talking about why he killed him, we're talking about the Yerusha, what happens after he kills him. The fact that he killed Novi, the fact that he killed the children may not have been justified, but the Novi describes that he then took the field, that was taken by Din. It may be that the initial stage was incorrect, but once he deemed them Haruge Malchus, then he has a right to take the Kerem. So that's the discussion. Is he has the right to take them and the capacity of Melech? Or, as Rabbi Yehuda must tell you, no, nothing to do with the Melech. A Melech doesn't get it. Rather, it's an inheritance. It should have gone to the children. There were no children.
So let me just understand this if I might. He's a Russia. It's very possible that he killed Novos and his children illegally. But once they're dead, since he's the king, he has a legal Yerusha. Does that make sense?
Yep. Because he's the Melech.
But he might have killed them illegally.
Might be. But now the Haruge Malchus. He's the Melech and he decides if they're considered Haruge Malchus. And the Novi side just says, yes, it's a proper Yerusha. So either way, we have two opinions now. Why did the estate, the Pasuk clearly says that the estate went to Achav. Did it go to Achav in the capacity of Melech? Or, as Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting, no, nothing to do with the fact that he's a Melech. It went to him because he happened to be the closest relative. The children were all killed. The first cousin, who happens, coincidentally, as it were, to be the Melech, he is the one who now inherits it. Says the Gemara, V'Rabbonon, the Rabbonon, they were the first opinion. They said that actually the Haruge Malchus's estate does go to the Melech. Do you know how they understood this pasuk about the children? Hahu, when it says the blood of novice and also the blood of the children, you know what that means? Bonim horuyin lotzeis mimenu. It doesn't mean that he literally killed the children. It's referring to the children who would, in theory, have potentially still have been born. So not that he actually killed children, but rather he killed off any chance of there being children in the future. In which case, we go back that, in fact, there were other children. Not that he literally killed the sons. We know that Novois had sons, as the Gemara pointed out before. And according to the Rabbanon, their interpretation of the Pasuk is that actually, Achav never killed those sons. When it says that the blood of the sons, what is that referring to? The blood of any future sons that could have potentially been born. Well, if that's the case, so we need to ask ourselves a question. So why did the estate indeed go to Achav? There were children who were not killed. So Rabbanon would learn from over here that you see that what? But it goes to the Melech. So it turns out that it's all dependent on how you learn that posuk. If you learn the pasuk literally, that Achav killed out not only Novos, but he killed his children as well. Okay, so the nearest relative happens to be Achav himself. So we've got no proof that the estate of a Haruge Malchus goes to the Melech. This was different. It just went to the closest relative. The Rabbanon said, no, he never killed out the children. Doesn't mean he killed out the live children. So there were still sons and they should have inherited it. So why did it go to Achav? Must be it goes to the Melech. So that is the Machlokes. So that particular story therefore turned out to be inconclusive because, as seen, there are two ways to learn it, depending on whether you learn this pasuk about the children literally or otherwise. So at the moment, we still have a machlokes between the Tanna Kamma, the Rabbanon, versus Rabbi Yehuda. Did what's the halacha? Does the estate of a Haruge Malchus go to the state? That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to the second opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, absolutely not. What happens is it goes to the Yorushim, just like in any other case. Happens to be that in this particular case, Achav was the Yorush. Okay, we're still trying to bring a proof, says the Gemara. Last word on the line. It's all fine and well, according to the opinion who says that the assets go to a melech. In other words, the opinion of Rabbana. Then it would make a lot of sense that which it says in the pasuk, Birech Novois Elohim Umelech. It says that Novois did, or at least was accused of doing the following: for having been Mavarech, which we know is always a euphemism for being Makalel, both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Melech. So officially, that was his Aveira. Number one, that he's cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, that he's cursed the Melech. Now, if somebody curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then obviously that is a classic Aveira, and he becomes a Haruge Bezdin. If one curses the Melech, then one becomes a Haruge Malchus. So why is it necessary? Why is it necessary to point out that Novos is not only a Mekalel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's also a Mekalel of the Melech? Why is it necessary to point that out? What nafkamin is it? What ramification is that? So according to the opinion that Haruge Malchus, the estate goes to the Melech, it makes very good sense now. Look at Rashi. Hainu diksiv umelech heiduhu. They testified against him, Shemorad b'malchus. Not only did he curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he also rebelled against the king. What ramification does that have? Kedei sheyischayev Misa Lamalchus. So that he should also be considered guilty and therefore liable to be killed by the Melech. What is the ramification of that? The Yunachosov Lamelech. And his Nachosim would go to a Melech. If you hold that the Nachosim of a Haruge Malchus goes to the Yorushim, so it makes no difference whether he was Makalel Hashem and also Mekalel the Melech, or not Mekalel the Melech. It's irrelevant. The Nechasim are going to the same place. So why would he have to add that? It only makes sense to add it if he's trying to tell you that no, by virtue of the fact that he rebelled against the king, so he deserves to be killed against by the king, and therefore the state will go to the king. That's why it was important to point it out. Elo, says the Gemara on the first wide line, Leman da'oma nichsehen. But according to the opinion that says the Nechosim go to the inheritors, Lomoli. So why does it have to say, quote unquote, the Melech? Why does it have to say that? There's no nafkamina. Either way, the Nechosim, whether he's a Moirid b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether he's a Moirid b'Melech, makes no difference. So what was he adding it for? Says Rashi, Lomoli l'melech. If it's because he wanted to put him to death machmas kurva, and then inherits him because it happens to be a cousin. But bireich novois Elokim sagi. Then, by virtue of the fact that he's been Vorech Elokim, that would have sufficed, because as mentioned, Achav, according to this opinion, was the closest relative. So either way, the Nechosim would have gone to Achav. Even if he would have only, as if only, been Mekalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Beis Din would have killed him. What would have happened to the Nechosim? It would have gone to the relative. Who was that? Achav. So why was it necessary to add, you know something? In addition to that, he happened also to be a Moired B'melech. Ah, what's the loch of Moired B'melech? Well, it also goes to the Yorshim. So there's no ramification of this second Avera. According to the opinion that the Nechosim go to the Melech, ah, it's very good. Do you know why he had to add there was a second Avera? Because there's a practical ramification of this. Where are the Nechosim going to go? If he's killed by the Melech, then it'll go to the Melech. So that's why it's very important to add that not only was he a Moired against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was a Moired against the Melech. So now the Melech has the prerogative to kill him, not using Beis Din, and thereby seize his assets. Well, then I would understand it's very critical to point out that yes, there was this second Avera with a very important ramification. But if you hold that either way the Nechosim are going to the Yorashim, so there is zero ramification of the fact that there's a second Avera. So why would you have to point it out? Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, one moment. V'leta'ameich, even according to your reasoning, even according to you, that you want to claim that the Nechosim go to the Melech, and that's why he added the second Avera. Well, then the question becomes the other way around. So why did you mention the first Avera? Elokim lomoli. So why did you have to point out Bichlal? You're asking me why do you have to mention the second Avera? I'm sorry, I'll throw the ball back to your court. Why did you have to mention the first Avera? Why do you have to mention that he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Either way, the main point is, he cursed the king is going to put him to death, and Nechosim are going to the Melech. So why is it necessary to add the first Avera? Elo la'afushi rischo. In order to increase anger, we'll see what this means in a second. The reason why he mentioned the second Avera, even though it's true, there's no practical ramification, but at the end of the day, is because he wanted to add anger. Well, okay, if that's the case, then I'll say the same thing. Ochanami lafushirisra. Therefore, even according to me, it's true. The Nechosim are going to the Yorashim either way. But if you want to know why both Averas needed to be mentioned, it's just to add anger. Look what Rashi says. V'leta'ameich, and according to you, the Melech lechayvoy misas malchus nema. If the reason why the rebellion against the king was mentioned in order to teach us that the king can put him to death, so then Elokim lomali, why must you mention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him? Ha-mechayev le'im yishur malchus, he's anyway chayev because he rebelled against the king. And the answer is, la'afushi rischa. What does that mean, la'afushi rischa, to add anger? The daininon olov, sheloi Yerananu Achar Achov. Achov was a very wily king. And he didn't want people saying bad things about him. Shelo Yerananu means they shouldn't be criticizing the king, Lameima, to say that Bishvilei Horga, it was all because of him that he killed him, or Bli Pesha, and there was no real Avera. In other words, Achov, it's true. Essentially, once Achov deemed Novois and Moired b'Malchus, that would have been sufficient to put him to death. So why was it necessary to add that actually there was another Avera as well, to get people extra angry? He wanted people to view Novois very negatively. Had he not mentioned that second Avera, what might people have said? Really? He rebelled against the king? Who said? Maybe he's a tzaddik. Maybe Achav had a vested interest. So therefore, he just wanted to, as it were, ratchet up the anger. Let's mention all the averos that he did. It's true, there's no practical ramification, but when we start circulating, that you know something? Not only did he rebel against me, the king Achav, but he also rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, wow, people say he really is a Rasha. And therefore, we're not going to accuse Achav of any wrongdoing. Obviously, he's a serious Rasha. And if he rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, we can definitely probably believe he rebelled against the king as well. And that way, Achav retained his good reputation, as it were. So, yes, Rabbi Larry.
If he inherited the money because he was a Yoresh, what about the sons? What about the whole story that there were sons and he killed the sons or he didn't kill the
According to
sons?
this, according to that opinion, he killed all the sons. That was the machlokes. According to that opinion, he killed all the sons, and therefore it went to the melech.
No, but you're saying, remember we said Elohim, at that point they were saying Elohim v'melech. So Beis Din would kill Navos based on the Avera of Mevarech Hashem.
No,
So
they wouldn't.
if
They
that's what happened
wouldn't.
and he was a Yoresh, so who killed the sons?
No, they wouldn't. That's what he's saying. By
Right, so
virtue
therefore if he was the Yoresh, he wouldn't be the Yoresh. The sons would have inherited.
Of the fact that he rebelled against the king, it's true he was over another Avera, which would require Beis Din, but the Melech can short track. He doesn't need to go via the route of Beis Din and Edim and
No, I'm
Asur.
going back to the original where they said the reason it said Elokim v'melech is because Beis Din, he was chayav with Beis Din. Beis Din was going to kill him because of, and they asked the question, then why does it say v'melech? And the answer was said, well, he was the Yoresh, that even if Beis Din killed him because they were Mechal Hashem, he was the Yoresh. But then it comes to the question, but what about the sons? They said originally they were sons.
Again, we're going according to the opinion that if somebody is killed by the Melech, then the estate goes to the Melech. So yes, it would have gone to the children had the Beis Din only killed him. But the Melech has the right to expedite that and avoid Beis Din and to put him to death himself. And then it does not go to the Yorshim and it goes to him. So that's why he had every interest to mention this second Aveira to say, not only is he chayev misa by Beis Din, which if that would happen, it would go to the Yorshim, but in addition, there's another aveir, which means I'm allowed to avoid Beis Din because he rebelled against the king. So I can just put him to death, and I don't care if there's 1,000 relatives, the king gets the assets.
So then, in either one of these cases, even from the beginning, like in the first line where it says Navos Elokim Umelech, it was never that a Beis Din put him to death.
No. The Melech put him to death. Absolutely, the
Okay.
Melech put him to death. Yeah.
Oh, because the
It's just
Tachlis, that's what happened. He put him to death.
right. The Melech put him to death. That was the Moros Kasha. So why do you have to mention Bichlal that he rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Taurus is just to get people angry, make sure that people understand that he was a true Rosh. Okay, so again, we've tried to bring proofs this way or not, or that. So far inconclusive. Says the Gemara. Another case now. Here we have another case. So far, we've discussed the case of Novois. Novois HaYisraeli, as we mentioned, on trumped up charges of rebelling against the king, etc., etc. Now we have another case of Moired b'Malchus, and this is a completely different story. Yoav ben Tsruya. Yoav ben Tsruya. Maybe Rabbi Yosef, do they give a historical note? Yoav ben Tsruya was considered a Moired b'Malchus against David HaMelech. Is that what they point out there?
Yeah, I think I'm from memory. This is what I remember. I'm not sure
Right,
it's
so we're going
in
to see there is
the.
a very important halacha that we need to know.
Oh
The halacha,
yeah. There is a note actually.
yes,
It's
what are they? You want to read that
after
out?
King David
Yeah, what are they
passed
saying?
away, passed the throne to Shlomo. Shlomo set out to kill Yoav. I think they did. Isn't there a mafia in which they got him to agree to that, I can't remember. And the former commander of David's army, the motivation for this was twofold. First, Yoav had years earlier killed two righteous men, Avner ben Ner, see below, oh dear, that's another note, and Amasa ben Yether. Again, there's another note on that, 48A note 10. And David had asked Shlomo to kill Yoav in retribution for this. Secondly, Yoav had supported Adonijah in his attempt to usurp the throne, and thus he was deemed a Morid Malchus, a traitor to the crown.
Because Adoniyo tried to take over the Malchus of Yehuda,
Yeah.
and therefore Yoav, in support of him, was considered to be a Moed b'Malchus. So now, there is another halacha that we need to know, and I'm sure Rabbi Yosef, they point out that as well. There is a fascinating halacha, which is that if somebody is Mechuyev Misa, if he runs into the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll see exactly how this works, and he grabs holds of the Mizbeach, then he has, as it were, immunity. And that is what Yoav did. We'll see whether he was mistaken in his cheshbon, but that's what he did, at least in an attempt to try and avoid Misa. He ran to the Mizbeach and tried to grab hold of the corners of the Mizbeach, thinking, we'll see whether he was correct in that or not, that therefore he would not be able to be killed. So without introduction, we're going to have to pause it over here, but that is the introduction necessary to understand the next piece of Gemara, and Amitz Hashem, we'll take it up tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. Rabbi Larry, I'm sure you're uttering pearls of wisdom, but you're on mute.
Was Yoav, was Yoav?